present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggarts.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting seen in the Exeter Express and Echo, read by Corrie Caulfield.
The Exeter hot air balloon will be in the field and you can try your hand at archery.
Thanks to Ted Shepherd for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton, and a newcomer to the news quiz, Valerie Singleton. And challenging them on my left, Francis Ween and Linda Smith. And with the traditional easiest question, it's for you, Andy. Who's left on a jet plane, come back again, left on another one, come back again, left on yet another jet plane, and so on?
Versus President Blair. And the war sort of turned into groundhog war. Because it seems to be at a stage where every day you wake up and it's the same things. It's the same footage of the Americans dropping bombs along a line of Taliban front line, and then followed by the same American claims that they were 98% accurate, and then by the same Taliban claims that, in fact, not a single soldier got a scratch, but that all the missiles hit an orphanage. And I suppose that, in a way, that's a comment on us. You know, our expectations are fairly instant and febrile, and, you know, we like to have a development a day. And Tony Blair flew out on Concorde, and I hate to be so horribly cynical, but it seemed an awful coincidence that he was flying out on Concorde on the day that British Airways relaunched Concorde.
But he had to use plastic knives and forks, didn't he, on the plane?
Well, it's not a problem for me. I usually travel by EasyJet and they...
Might be a problem for Tony Blair, then.
Quite using knives and forks.
But it made it very odd, because there was this British Airways Concorde relaunched with a great fanfare, and Blair didn't go on it. He had to charter a separate one. I mean, why he couldn't go on that one, I don't know. Because they
can't travel with riffraff like Sting.
That's a wonderful new phrase, which I'd never heard before, because somebody asked why Blair had to go out on Concorde when he was already exhausted to see Bush. Couldn't he just ring him up? And Downing Street said, no, they have to have FaceTime together.
Quality FaceTime. He must have clocked up some air miles. He'll never pay for a holiday again, will he?
He's never paid for one before.
President Blair flew across the Atlantic this week on the basis that it's quicker than walking. While in the US, Mr. Blair denied accusations he'd failed to keep his eye on the domestic political scene, something he swore he would disprove just as soon as he got back to, you know, that place that's just before France. Anyway, Valerie, welcome to the news quiz.
Thank you.
Why was it a thumping good week for peace in Northern Ireland?
David Trimble was re-elected as the first secretary, and this led to a great furore outside the parliament. Everybody pushing and shoving, and David Trimble was trying to make a speech, and it was dreadful. It just seemed to denigrate, really, the whole Northern Irish Parliament, didn't it?
It did. Well, if that's possible, yes.
It was quite a girly fight, though, wasn't it? It was a lot of men.
Didn't look a girly fight when I saw it. For real.
Oh, mate, have you got Sky? Did you see a better version? It looked to me like a pretty sort of middle-aged male fight where lots of people stick their beer guts into each other. And sort of say, come on then.
I don't think
it was pay-per-view on Sky, actually. It was worth the extra, definitely, because Trimble came on in little leopard skin shorts. Danced down the aisle to Eye of a Tiger.
But they all blamed each other, didn't they? They all said... Paisley said it was the other lot, and the other lot said it was Paisley's lot.
What Paisley said, which was priceless, was he said, I saw it all. He said, I was just standing here quietly.
Scuffles broke out at a post-election news conference following the re-election of David Trimble as First Minister in Northern Ireland. For many of the parties, it was the first time they'd made physical contact with each other without wearing balaclavas. Three members of the non-sectarian Alliance Party were persuaded to redesignate themselves as unionists, but only after they'd failed to join a much more moderate party, the Taliban. So 2 points there. Linda, why has Ian Duncan-Smith refused to show a sign of support?
Ah, now, this is Francis's evil twin, Ian Duncan Smith.
Oh, no, Francis.
How could two brothers be so different? I don't know.
I'm going to stick up for Francis. He's got much more hair.
Well, that's only because I've been working on it for the last few weeks. I've been trying to grow it out. Simply because it got to the stage where I was actually being mistaken for him, even by Tory MPs, and I thought the only solution is either to dye it or to grow it.
You're kidding. What, a Tory MP didn't know what Ian Duncan Smith looked like?
No, I was genuinely accosted at Westminster by a Tory MP who said, Ian, could I have...
Did you offer him a job in the shadow cabinet? He's going around now saying, I've got transport. Who was it? Name names.
Well, I didn't know who he was. It's... Well, do you know... How many Tory MPs could you recognise in the identity parade? You can't even recognise the deputy leader of the party these days.
Oh, dear. So, no, well, what it is that man that we're talking about, he won't sign this form about defamation of Islam. It's a sort of thing that's come round for them to sign, a charter.
It's a pledge, isn't it, calling for tolerance. And I think it's the wrong approach to promote tolerance. It seems to me that the way to promote tolerance is to make it compulsory. And if anyone's being intolerant, you just don't tolerate it. And you...
Funny thing, Islamic awareness. I mean, most people are aware that there's such a thing as Islam, aren't they? I don't know where you'd have to be living.
Well, they thought Tony Blair's aware of Islam. He reads the Quran all the time. Osama bin Laden is highly aware of Islam. He reads the Quran all the time. You know, where's it got them?
No, it's a funny thing with Osama bin Laden. He's got all those wives. And yet, you know, he lives in a cave. He's got a big beard. That doesn't normally pull the birds, does it? He's probably got a really good sense of humour.
Tory leader Ian Duncan Smith declined to sign a pledge of tolerance for the Muslim community. Mr Duncan Smith is signing the pledge. He'll upset his core vote. Mr George Briggs of Great Missenden. Francis, your piece of music. I Quit by Brass. Francis, which First Minister has been let off the McLeish?
Well, I think the answer to this question could be McLeish. Can I have 2 points, please?
Yes, indeed.
Thanks.
Right.
Am I alone in thinking this is rigged, this quiz? Well, the actual name of the answer is in the question.
Well, he's had to go because he got £36,000, I think, from subletting his constituency office and forgot to mention this in his parliamentary declarations.
Correct. Minister said the whole affair was a muddle rather than a fiddle. Now he's got time to listen to his favourite musical, Muddler on the Roof. We start round two with a notice seen at the Ford's Lane Evangelical Church in Stockport.
Coffee morning, bring and buy. No clothes.
Thanks to Andrew Greystone for that. Andy, why can English parents stay on the beaten track?
Is this the fact that, unlike the good people of Scotland, English parents are allowed to be brutal and beat their children if they misbehave?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much against violence towards your children, partly because all my children, who are 13, 11 and 6, are taller than me now. But it seems to me that there's a bit of a problem constitutionally, because if I were a Scot who believes in hitting his kids, what is to stop me getting cross with the kids, bunging them in the car, driving down to Gretna Green and then giving them a good thumping? And I'd say, surely...
Some people have actually looked in the Bible, haven't they, in the Old Testament, and said that they found a proof there that it says, you know, you can beat your child with a rod and he won't die. So they're saying that it's all right. In the Old Testament, in those days, it was done.
Yeah, but the Old Testament says you can't lie down with beasts, and I think we've moved on from that now.
Despite the decision, instances of parents hitting their children have greatly decreased over the past few years, mainly because most children these days are born 6 foot tall, carrying Stanley knives. Valerie, which loudspeaker no longer has a posh voice?
Oh, yes. This is the lady who... I've never heard her speak, actually, but she's very posh. And for some reason, the Speaker of the House of Commons didn't like her voice. It rather grated. What surprises me, though, is that she hasn't actually yet filed for dismissal on unfair grounds, because everybody else in the nation would do that and get a lot of money for it and probably retire and not bother to go to the House of Commons ever again. But she's apparently been sidetracked and I'm told has been given another job somewhere, but not working for the Speaker, Mr. Martin,
exactly.
Who is fairly plain speaking, rather...
incomprehensible, old fool. You're absolutely right. Michael Martin, the Speaker of the House of Commons, sacked his secretary, Charlotte Every, allegedly for sounding too posh. The Glaswegian working-class Speaker was accused of having a chip on his shoulder, which he polished off with a couple of pints of heavy and a deep-fried Mars bar. Linda, listen to this.
This old house wants new children. This old house wants new wife. This old house was home of comfort as we fought the sunlight. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shots. Now she trembles in the darkness when the lightning in the world's louder.
Shaking Stevens, the Welsh Elvis. Linda, which old house is getting a makeover?
The House of Lords. It's being changed and, bizarre as it may seem, actually coming up with a less rational system, even, which seems hard to believe. There are all these different categories of lords. Well, they're not lords, really, but they're something else. I don't know what they are, really. And only a few of them are elected.
No, it's going to be fully elected. It's just that it's going to be an electorate of one, which is Tony Blair.
Oh, right, I understand. But they're all moaning they don't like the process, and they're all particularly objecting to the swimwear round. They find it demeaning.
I think the whole job should have been handed over to Nigel Lithgow. He could have done pop lords. He could have scoured the country for attention-seeking show-offs.
Labour's proposals for the modernisation of the upper house have been met with anger by government backbenchers. What do they expect with plans drawn up by Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen? Under the scheme, 360 peers will be appointed by political parties, 120 by an independent body, another 120 will be elected, and the other 12 will be found a-leaping round about Christmas time. Francis, why has passed water given the government cause for celebration?
Oh, Blackpool Beach and all these other places, they've cleared the sewage out. It's amazing. While Tony Blair is saving the world, waging war against terrorism, intolerance and all these other abstract things, he's somehow simultaneously made beaches safe for the little kiddies to play on and swim in the sea.
Well, it's not quite as good as it sounds. They now reach minimum levels, is what they mean.
Slightly better than a public lavatory in Piccadilly Circus.
Ah, photo finish, really. Yeah, it's basically the levels of filth and effluent are just at minimum levels of acceptability. So, hurrah! Who's for a swim?
There was a report about the rivers, though, wasn't there, earlier in the week, about saying that the rivers are now... because they found salmon in the Mersey for the first time. Probably not there anymore. So much trouble for saying that.
Official figures show Britain's rivers are now cleaner than they've been since the Industrial Revolution. As Andy pointed out, three salmon were caught in the Mersey, but only after the dolphin they were joyriding overturned and burst into flames. We start round three with an item from The Comet newspaper in Stevenage.
For sale, Dalmatian, 10 months old. Divorce forces sale. Lovely bitch.
Thanks to Mrs. E. Brown for that. Andy, who's mad about Harry?
Oh, this is Harry Potter. And I was interested to see there was one article that claimed that it would now be rather cool to be the weedy kid in the playground with the round NHS specs, which was just 40 years too late as far as I was concerned.
I don't like seeing grown-ups reading it on the train, though. I think that's wrong. I wish I had a big stack of Madame Bovary or something and just take them away and slide that in and say, go on, try that, give your brain a treat, go on.
The books by J.K. Rowling have proved a phenomenal success worldwide. Every day, hundreds of tourists flock to King's Cross Station to look for a train at platform 9 3/4. And every day, baffled guards look at them and say, you're looking for a train? The millionaire author began her career scraping by in squalor and living off the government, which is how Geoffrey Archer is ending his. Valerie, your piece of music.
I'm going to be round my vegetables. I'm going to chop down
think that was a song about vegetables.
Yes,
can I just
points.
Check? Did everyone hear that, or did I just dream it?
Valerie, why is there no danger of our kids turning into vegetables?
Ah, yes. That's because all the Harry Potter fans are so busy reading Harry Potter that they're not eating their greens.
Indeed.
And it's going to do something terrible to them when they grow up, but I'm not quite sure what it is.
We're going to die.
Simon, I don't think there's any chance of you being a Blue Peter presenter. Now then, children, the world is an evil and vile place where you will all inevitably fall into a decline, into senility and ultimately death. And now, what's Petra been up to?
2 points to Valerie. Linda, why is modern art leaving people in the dark? Then the light, and then the dark.
Oh, Turner Prize, isn't it? There's this man, Creed, who's had, I believe, some controversial entrance to the Turner Prize before. It's basically, you go into the room and the light sort of flicks on and off. And I think, well, if that's a work of art, I've got one of those in our back bedroom. It's the usual Turner Prize sort of hoo-ha, really, isn't it? About whether it's art or not. For me, Rolf Harris, there's an artist. You can see what it is and it only takes a couple of minutes. That's art, isn't it?
Because normally they've got silly titles, and this one is simply called Lights Going On and Off, which doesn't work at all. You know, normally if you bung in a light bulb, you call it The Impossibility of Death in the Mind of One Yet Living, or... Towards an Etiology of Semiotics or something like that, and then you win it. Makes all the difference, the title.
Martin Creed's previous works include Balls of Paper, Balls of Blue Tack and Balls of Sellotape, all of which were described by critics as a complete load of stationery. Francis, why are these testing times for Britain's brightest kids?
Oh, nine-year-olds, for some reason, they're going to have to sit extra tests. And so it's one of these things that the government does to take people's eye off the war effort. And for once, it's not Blunkett. It's the Education Secretary, Estelle Morris. And she's introducing yet more tests for little children because they're so busy not eating their vegetables and going to Harry Potter films that they might be corrupted. They've printed some sample questions. They seem quite A-level standard-ish, some of them.
I tried to do these this morning in my local Café Republic and I couldn't do them.
A bit sinister, really. Do you think they're trying to find a little group of super kids, you know, like that film, Village of the Damned? And they're all going to have funny eyes that go all glowy when they look at you.
Well, most kids do, don't they? Right, kids are to be formally identified using a new set of tests launched this week. They'll be taken internationally in a sort of school world cup just as soon as Estelle Morris can find a Swedish coach to administer them. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Times.
One in five British children has head lice. Why can't we kill them?
Thanks to Colin Henderson of Swindon for that. Andy, listen to this.
Oxford town, everybody's got their heads bowed down. Sun don't shine above the ground, ain't going down to Oxford town.
Andy, why are Oxford United hoping to be blessed with a run of good form?
I've got an itchy head now. Now you've done the stuff about hair lice. It's power of suggestion. Oxford United made a bad start to the season and thought they've got a new stadium and they think there's some, there's a gypsy curse on the pitch. Some idiot believed the mumbo jumbo is a gypsy curse. And they called in the Bishop of Oxford to exorcise the pitch. And it had PR stunt written all over it.
No, it had...
That's Oxford done anyway.
It had total fiction written all over it. It's complete nonsense. It was in the Oxford Mail on Tuesday. They had this story, and the Sun then picked it up on Wednesday, but it was no truer then than when it had been in the Oxford Mail on Tuesday. It's total fiction.
How do you know it's
no
total fiction?
No gypsies curse. Oxford United has been completely free of curses ever since Robert Maxwell died.
Oxford United players, who've lost 13 out of their last 17 games, claim to have sighted strange goings-on at their ground. Footballs hit by opposition players seem to glide through the air, float mysteriously through the goalkeeper's hands. Valerie Wise being a bit woolly, no bar to intelligence.
Oh, yes, this is a lovely story. This is all about sheep. Somebody decided that they'd test whether sheep had intelligence. I'd love to know why they ever thought to do this in the first place. But apparently sheep recognise each other. They have friends in the flock.
And also it makes them cleverer than Tory MPs who don't recognise anyone.
They have a lot more hair than some Tory MPs. And they've been doing these tests. They've been putting up pictures of sheep. I noticed the sheep did look quite different. One was a rather fat sheep and one was a fairly thin sheep. And if the sheep that's let into the pen recognises the right sheep and presses the button with its nose, it gets the food. Presumably they change the pictures around all the time so the sheep gets a bit confused, but apparently they're very intelligent.
You can't pull the wool over their eyes.
It wasn't one of the conclusions of the research also that sheep don't like change.
And they always, like, they're not very adventurous eaters. No, just the grass.
Yeah.
No, I'll stick with the grass. No, nothing too spicy.
Yeah. The grass.
I'll just have something from the grass menu, please.
The test proved that sheep can recognise other sheep from photographs, though their minds did tend to wander after the first dozen photographs of Dolly on her holidays. Linda, whose night on the tiles left them floored.
Night on the tiles left them floored.
Don't just repeat.
Oh, it's not the Roman Villa.
Oh, Roman Villa.
Sarah,
yes,
Chester, that sort of
that's
thing.
It, Roman Villa.
She sounds bewildered. Get her off.
I recognise that sheep. They found a Roman Villa with a dolphin thing on the floor, basically.
It was an alert JCB digger man who spotted that this tile that he was about to crunch to bits as he dug up this land might be something rather special. Apparently he took it home to his mum, and his mum said, I think that's a Roman tile. Obviously he had a very bright mum.
Or a very old mum.
Or a very old mum.
One of the most spectacular Roman mosaics in Britain was unearthed in the West Country by road builders this week. To protect it over the winter, the mosaic will need to be carefully reburied, so there's one interesting new job prospect for Joe Moore. Francis, why is the wind of change sweeping through Brussels?
Linda, why is the wind of change sweeping through Brussels?
I don't know, Francis. Why is the wind of change?
If I give you the answer, would you...
That would help.
Francis, Sainsbury's is renaming Brussels sprouts British sprouts in the run-up to Christmas. I'll try again. Francis, why is the wind of change sweeping through...
I don't see the point of this wind. Would you care to explain
what
the wind
is? Have you ever eaten Brussels sprouts?
Exactly.
Well, exactly. That's what I assumed.
They are the devil's garnish.
It was some awful flatulence question. But it's not a flatulence question. It's apparently Sainsbury's, the supermarket, is relabeling Brussels sprouts.
I can't believe this. I mean, I'm not a petty competitive person. But that is flagrant.
I just call them mini cabbages or something.
Boy
petite,
sprouts.
Petite cabbages.
Yeah, bonsai cabbage.
Sainsbury's is renaming Brussels sprouts British sprouts in the run-up to Christmas. They're also renaming Savoy cabbage as Milton Keynes Travelodge cabbage. But Jamie Oliver's adverts will still be known as turkeys. New survey shows that sprouts are children's least favourite vegetable, despite many attempts to rebrand them as Alco cabbages. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, thank you to Gillian Howard from the Isle of Man for sending in this clipping. A man attempted to steal toiletries in a bid to smarten himself up for a court appearance later that day.
Valerie.
Well, this was sent in by Margaret Patching of East Sussex, and it comes from the World Pheasant Association, the UK bulletin. And apparently the inscription on the metal bands used by the US Department of the Interior to tag migratory birds has been changed. The bands used to bear the address of the Washington Biological Survey, abbreviated as WASH, BOIL, SERVE. Until the agency received the following letter from an Arkansas camper. Dear sirs, while camping last week, I shot one of your birds. I think it was a crow. I followed the cooking instructions on the leg tag. And I want to tell you, it was horrible. The bands are now marked Fish and Wildlife Service.
Linda.
This was sent in by Adrian Jones in Bath from the Somerset Guardian. It's the lead story in the Somerset Guardian. It's called Hobbies and Pastimes. If you like to confine your leisure activities to home, one way to save money and make your friends envious at the same time is to take up knitting. Start making your own jumpers, cardigans and even dresses at a fraction of shop prices. Knitting doesn't have to be difficult, and as long as you can cast on and off and do simple knit, purl and rib, you can use your imagination and careful choice of yarns to make a garment that you will never see anyone wearing.
Francis.
Rose Lindsay of Wendover has sent me this cutting from Metro. A tree has been sent a letter to reassure it that it is safe from being cut down. The two-page message, headed Dear the Tree, was stuck to its trunk. It followed concerns from environmental campaigners that the 60-year-old lime in University Road, Southampton, was about to be cut down. It assures the tree that there is a 6-month temporary preservation order on it, and goes on to say that if the tree would like to make further comments, it should make them in writing to the local council.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Linda and Francis have 15 points. But Andy and Valerie are this week's winners with 16 points. Before we leave you, here's an item from the Bournemouth Daily Echo.
To let, beautifully located first floor flat situated between the village shops and China.
With that, goodbye.
In the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Valerie Singleton, Linda Smith and Francis Ream. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Corey Caulfield. The chairman's script was written by Simon Littlefield, George Poles, Paul McKenzie and Dave Cohen. And the producer was Steve Doherty.